Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. And this is Randy Fine, your show host. So we all walk around with these bodies, and we really don't know what's going on inside of them, unless we're doctors and we've studied it or whatever. But what we don't realize is that we have this immune system that fights off things all the time and keeps us healthy. And we sort of rely on that because there are little soldiers in there that are fighting these battles for us. But what happens when our immune system mistakenly identifies healthy cells as foreign cells and then attacks them? That's when we get autoimmune disease. And you may not be aware of it, but there are more than 100 autoimmune diseases. We hear about, you know, certain ones like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, there's a bunch of them. But anyway, today we have with us Tom O'Brien, Dr. Tom O'Brien, who is an internationally recognized speaker and writer on chronic disease and metabolic disorders. He organized the popular Gluten Summit in November 2013. Dr. O'Brien has more than 30 years of experience as a functional medicine practitioner and is adjunct faculty at the Institute for Functional Medicine. He lives in San Diego, and today we're going to talk about his book, The Autoimmune Fix, which is a really, really cool book with a lot of great information for you. So let's get started, and we can hear what Dr. O'Brien has to tell us. And let me introduce him to you. Good morning, Dr. O'Brien.
Good morning, Randy.
So it's really wonderful to have you on. I know we had some back and forth trying to get you here, but I'm so glad that we're finally able to bring you here because you're a very interesting guest and your topic is very interesting.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I mean, it's very important. So why don't you give a background on yourself and, you know, how you got into all of this?
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. 1979, I was in my internship, and my wife and I could not get pregnant. And I called the 7 most famous holistic doctors I'd ever heard of at that point and was able to speak to all of them and ask them, what do they do for infertility? And they all told me what they do, and I put a program together, and we were pregnant in 6 weeks. My neighbors in married housing heard about it because we were so excited. And she had been through artificial insemination and nothing had worked for her. So they'd ask if I'd work with them. And I said, well, you know, I don't think this is going to harm you. And it worked for us. Sure, why not? She was pregnant in 3 months. So before I even got out into practice, I was hot to trot. You know, I was ready to go and help every couple get pregnant that wanted to get pregnant. And, you know, and we've helped lots and lots of people with hormone problems since then. And, you know, there's not much in medicine that's an all or every, but this is an every. Every couple that has, or every person that has hormone-related problems, every person in my clinical practice that we found over the years, every single one of them, whether it was low testosterone in men or recurrent miscarriages or infertility, irrespective of what the complaint was, every single person that had hormone imbalance-related symptoms, they all had foods that they were eating that they didn't know were a problem for them, but were contributing to or causing their problem. So they all had food sensitivities of foods that they thought were good foods. And the most common food that they were sensitive to was wheat, most common. And so that got me interested, and I dove into the literature on wheat and found that there are over 20,000 studies on the association of wheat and wheat sensitivity with different conditions in the body. And I'm not exaggerating when I tell you the medical literature, there's case studies of reversing type 1 diabetes in children, reversing, and this is a great one, reversing a tumor in the eye that was diagnosed as Kaposi sarcoma, that comes from HIV, a nasty, ugly, mucousy tumor above the eyeball, or above the pupil on the eyeball, completely reversing it in 2 months on a wheat-free diet. That child had celiac disease, so they put him on a wheat-free diet, and the tumor went away. And the ophthalmologists say, oh, my God, why did this happen? How did this happen? They say, we don't know what happened, but obviously it's an autoimmune mechanism from wheat. So reversing MS, multiple sclerosis, reversing rheumatoid arthritis, reversing psoriasis, reversing hair loss, hormone imbalances, the list goes on and on and on. And this is why it's so varied. Mrs. Patient, if you pull at a chain, the chain always breaks at the weakest link. It could be at one end, the middle, the other end. It's your heart, your brain, your liver, your reproductive system. Wherever the weak link is in your chain, that's where it's going to break if you pull hard enough. And the pull in our lives is at the cellular level. Every disease is a disease of inflammation, the cells on fire. That's the pull on the chain, is when you have inflammation. And where the chain's going to break is just at the weak link. So the question is always, for every doctor, this should be included in their evaluations. The question is the weak link a brain cell or a kidney cell? Is it gasoline or kerosene? That when you take this kind of simplistic overview and you ask that type of basic question, what comes up for so many people is that there is a food that they're eating that doesn't make them sick when they eat it, so they don't know it's a problem, but inside is causing systemic inflammation. That means through your whole body, it causes inflammation. So you don't have gut symptoms. If the weak link is your brain, you've got brain fog. And over 20, 30, 40 years, you develop Alzheimer's, or you develop Parkinson's, or you develop autism or attention deficit. If the weak link in your chain is your joints, you develop arthritises, rheumatoid arthritis. If the weak link in your chain is your skin, you lose all your hair, or you get psoriasis. It just depends on where the weak link is, and that's determined by your genetics. But the basic guideline to start with is stop throwing gasoline on the fire. And if you're going to stop throwing gasoline on the fire, the next question is, well, what's gasoline in my life? Where am I getting gasoline? And the most common place you're getting gasoline is at the end of your fork. What you eat is the primary trigger for the inflammation that is every degenerative disease is a disease of inflammation. At the cellular level, the cell is always on fire. Every disease. So stop throwing gasoline on the fire. That's the first step in the process of healing or getting rid of your pain or your symptoms, your migraines, your PMS, your low testosterone for men. I mean, whatever the symptoms are, stop throwing gasoline on the fire. That's the first concept for people to look at.
So, you know, you talked about wheat, and I think this is sort of, I'm going to sort of represent the train of thought of most people. They would say, well, we've been eating wheat for generations, hundreds of generations and years, but there's something very interesting in your book about the processing of wheat now versus the processing of wheat then. And can you explain that, please?
Sure, you bet. The hybrid types of wheat that we use today, especially in this country, you know, when some people who have recognized they have a wheat problem, when they and they don't eat wheat anymore and they feel better, their symptoms go away. When they go to Europe, they say, oh, I can eat the wheat over there and I don't get my symptoms. Well, that doesn't mean you don't have a problem. It's because of the different type of wheat they're using, but it still triggers the immune response and it's still throwing gasoline in the fire, but the patients don't get the symptoms right away. But what's happened is the hybrid wheats that are used today have more gluten in them. Gluten means glue. And there's more glue in the wheat, if you will, because the bread rises higher or the muffins rise more. So they're lighter and fluffier and they're more commercially desirable today than they were in the past. That does not mean, however, that you can eat the ancient types of wheat, which some people say is better for you. Once you've crossed the line and you start having a problem with wheat, now your immune system will react to any wheat you're eating, whether it's been fermented like sourdough or whether it's the ancient strains like Emmet or some of the earlier strains. It doesn't matter. Once you have a reaction, you have a reaction to all wheat. The reason why we have so much more sensitivity today is not just because of the strains of wheat that have more gluten in them. See, wheat is considered by the body as a minor annoyance. It's not a major insult. It's a minor annoyance, and your immune system has something called oral tolerance. What that means, you eat something, and the immune system in your gut, 70% of the immune system's in your gut. It's not in your bloodstream, it's in your gut, because that's where we get exposed to the most potentially toxic stuff, is what we eat and drink. So your army that's there to protect you has to be where the invaders come in, so that's your gut. And because of the toxicity in our world today, the thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, the thousands of chemicals that we're exposed to every day of our lives now in our food chain, in the water, in the beverages we drink, your immune system is constantly trying to protect you, constantly fighting this stuff that we're exposed to, and I'll give you some examples in a minute. So your immune system is always firing these chemical bullets in your gut. They're called cytokines, and they're firing here and firing there and firing here and firing there constantly. Well, previously, when you were younger, you eat a little wheat, and it's a minor annoyance. So it comes in, and you say, oh, that's fine. It's just wheat. Let it go by. And it's tolerated. But when you are fighting constantly every day, as an example, every newborn child today in America that they check has, on average, 186 toxic chemicals in their bloodstream at birth that aren't supposed to be there.
Wow.
186. And most of them are neurotoxic, meaning they affect the brain. But all of these chemicals that we're exposed to, which your immune system is trying to protect you from all this crap, excuse me, that we're exposed to. And so you get an immune system that's fighting constantly. Now, if you think about our ancestors 2,000 years ago, what kind of toxins did they have to fight against? The only toxins in the environment a couple thousand years ago was if your food was rotting and there was some bad bacteria or some mold or some fungus that you were exposed to. That was pretty much it. You know, maybe an occasional virus or something. But now you've got bisphenol A in everything you drink, one of the chemicals in making plastic. You've got DDT, PCBs, 186 toxic chemicals that newborns have in their bloodstream at birth that your immune system is fighting all the time, day in, day out, every time you eat, every time, so that it becomes trigger happy. Now, wheat comes down there, and it's always tolerated that minor annoyance of wheat, but it doesn't tolerate it anymore. Now, you know, it's just firing at everything that might be an insult. Now we've got this annoyance. You know, you can't come in. Get out of here. And now you make antibodies to wheat. Once you cross that line and you lose oral tolerance, and that can happen when you're 2 years old, 22 years old, or 92 years old. Once that happens, you can't eat wheat anymore, because it causes an immune response, an immune reaction. And as I said, there's 20,000 articles. Wherever the weak link in your chain is, that's where you're going to get the symptoms. So it might be rheumatoid arthritis, or it might be scleroderma, an autoimmune disease, or it might be loss of all your hair, alopecia, an autoimmune disease. That it just depends on where the weak link is, but you're throwing gasoline on the fire now. And
right.
So the concept of wheat sensitivity and gluten sensitivity is very real. Very, very. I mean, there's 20,000 articles on this. I mean, give me a break. There are doctors out there that say, well, I don't believe in this. I don't care if you believe in it. Read the science. Just read the science. So it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you believe. Just read the science on this.
Yeah, and I really like the way you explain that. Because that really makes it gives us a visual for what's really happening in our bodies. I mean, for me, that was crystal clear because I really, you know, it's hard to get rid of wheat in your diet, you know, and so that's a major change in life. And so it's easy to make excuses. And to my listeners, what's really interesting in the book, Autoimmune Fix, is that Dr. O'Brien has lists of foods containing wheat, but he also has household products that contain gluten, which is really interesting. And I don't want to go through it because we don't have enough time. But you would find that really, really fascinating, as I did. So,
we've had a number of patients. You know, Randy, we've had a number of patients. They go completely wheat-free. They're working really hard, you know, to be sure they're not getting any exposures, and they get a little bit better, but they're not really that much better yet. And they, you know, they talk to me and I say, well, you're still being exposed. It's obvious you're being exposed. Where's it coming from? You know, so let's find out. Go home
and you can lick an envelope, you said, right?
That's right. You can lick an envelope. It might be your shampoo. It could be your lipstick. I mean, it could be your medicines. They use wheat as a filler. It could be your vitamins. I mean, there are so many places where wheat is used as a filler, unnecessarily. But, soy sauce. They put wheat in soy sauce, and they started doing that in 1982, I think it was. And all the soy sauce before that was just soy. But then they started adding wheat as a filler. It makes it easier to pour the soy sauce when they use a component of wheat in there. So so once you're wheat-free, you have to get wheat-free soy sauce. It's called tamari, and then you're okay, unless you have a sensitivity to wheat, to soy. But you just have to learn this stuff. And it's overwhelming to try and go wheat-free because you have toast for breakfast, you have a sandwich for lunch, you have pasta for dinner, you have croutons on your salad. You have a cookie. The next day you have a bagel. You have chicken noodle soup. You have a lasagna for dinner. You have a piece of pie. I mean, it's the most common food we eat, 132.5 pounds per person per year. Now, I don't eat any, so that means somebody else is eating 265 pounds per year, right? So, but that's how much we get. We get so much wheat exposure, and we've always thought it to be a healthy food. Unfortunately, in this world we live in today, and the way you know if you have to give up wheat or not, well, the first is if you have symptoms, just go completely wheat-free and dairy-free and sugar-free for 3 weeks. It's in the book. We guide you how to do that with recipes and all that. Give it a three-week trial and see. And if you don't want to do that, get the right blood test done. And when you get the right blood test done, if it comes back positive and your immune system says you've got a problem with wheat, whether you like it or not. You know, it's contributing to your irregular heartbeats. I mean, Mayo Clinic has published a number of papers on reversing cardiomyopathy. That's a swelling of the heart, and the muscle doesn't work so good anymore. They reverse cardiomyopathy on a wheat-free diet. This is published by Mayo Clinic. People with irregular heartbeats, if it's caused by inflammation and if you have the sensitivity to wheat, when you go wheat-free, your irregular heartbeats go away, and you're able to get off the meds that you're taking for the irregular heartbeat. Migraines, joint pain. I mean, it doesn't matter what your symptoms are. If you have a sensitivity to wheat, if you've crossed the line, and the only way you really know is by getting the right blood test done, and you've crossed the line, now you're going to have a problem wherever the weak link in your chain is.
Now, actually, my sister got that blood test. She went to a functional medicine doctor, and because she has Hashimoto's, and
yes,
she found all the healthy things she was eating, she had sensitivities to almonds and, you know, just things that you hear everywhere are so good for you. What is the name of that test?
Yes. The test to do, there are two tests that are just top-of-the-line tests. The most current and cutting-edge test is called the Wheat Zoomer, Z-O-O-M-E-R, Wheat Zoomer. And it's on my website. My website is thedr.com, thedr.com. And you can download the information, take it to your doctor, and say, please order this test for me. And if they won't do the test, oh, we've got a good test. No, you don't, doctor. You've got, and I can go into that in a few minutes, why it's not complete. It's only a partial test that every laboratory in the country, except for a couple of labs, is doing the tests they've done for the last 25 years, which are good tests, but they're not complete. So you get a lot of what's called false negatives, which means the test comes back and says there's no problem when there really is.
Right.
So it's
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So it's either the Wheat Zoomer test, and the other one is, and that's by a lab called Vibrant America, or the other test is by Cyrex, C-Y-R-E-X, Cyrex Labs, and that test is called Array, A-R-R-A-Y, number 3. And so either Array number 3 by Cyrex, or the more comprehensive test now is the Wheat Zoomer. And
okay,
when you
and
get
that
test done,
yeah,
that covers, right. So let's talk
everything
about what it covers. Right. And let's talk about how do you identify if you have a problem with wheat. I think it'll take a couple of minutes, but it's worth doing this because all of you listening, you need to talk to your doctors about this. And so you'll want to write a couple of things down if you can, or listen to this again. I'm sure it's accessible. Is that right, Randy? If they want to listen to it again, they're
absolutely
able to go back online.
It's archived immediately afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Great. So you'll want to listen to this again if you're not able to write it down right now. So, Mrs. Patient, proteins that we eat are like a pearl necklace. Hydrochloric acid, that's made in your stomach, undoes the clasp of the pearl necklace. Now you've got a string of pearls. All of our digestive enzymes made by the pancreas and the gallbladder and the good bacteria in the gut called the microbiota, all of our digestive enzymes act like scissors to cut the pearl necklace into smaller clumps of pearls and smaller clumps and smaller clumps and smaller clumps until you've snipped it down to each individual pearl of the pearl necklace. That's called an amino acid. Now, your intestines are a tube. They start at your mouth, and they go all the way to the other end, and it's one big, long tube. The inside of the tube is lined with cheesecloth, so that when you snip the pearls of the pearl necklace into each individual pearl, the pearl can go right through the cheesecloth into the bloodstream. Now your body can use these amino acids, these pearls, to make new bone cells or new muscle cells or new brain cells. But only the individual pearls of the pearl necklace can get into the bloodstream. The clumps of the pearl necklace can't get into the bloodstream. They can't get through the cheesecloth. Just like your grandmother's gravy, you know, and she'd pour the gravy into the cheesecloth and all the liquid comes through the other side, but the clumps can't get through. The clumps of a pearl necklace can't get through into the bloodstream because they're not good for you. Only the pearls of the pearl necklace. Now, here's the problem with wheat. Harvard has shown this, and there's studies on this. I have five studies on this now. Harvard has shown that no human has the scissors to break the pearls of the pearl necklace, to cut the pearls of the pearl necklace into individual pearls. The best we can do as humans is to cut it into clumps of pearls of the pearl necklace. We don't have the enzymes to break down wheat into individual amino acids.
Oh, we lost you for like 5 minutes. Okay, thank God you're back. Okay.
Oh, my God, yes, something happened here. There was a voice that came on and said, mute it, and then unmute it, and I'm not touching anything at my end.
Oh, no, I did that because we had lost you. We couldn't hear you, and so I tried to do that, to mute and unmute, and then we got you back. I don't know what happened.
Okay,
anyway, let's focus on what we want to talk about. Okay, so you were talking about the cheesecloth.
Where did you lose me?
Okay, so you were talking about the cheesecloth in this tube.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, so the cheesecloth lines the inside of our intestines. Now, when you eat a protein like wheat, the enzymes act as scissors to break the pearl, to cut the pearl necklace into smaller clumps of the pearl necklace. Smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until you've got each individual pearl of the pearl necklace. The individual pearls of the pearl necklace can go right through the cheesecloth into the bloodstream. Then your body can use those amino acids, those pearls of the pearl necklace, the individual pearls, to make new bone cells, to make new heart cells, to make new brain cells, to make new hormones. So the individual pearls are the bricks and mortar, if you will, to make new cells in our body. And the clumps of the pearl necklace cannot get through the cheesecloth. That's a really important concept. Only the pearls of the pearl necklace can get through the cheesecloth into the bloodstream. Now, Harvard published the studies 2 years ago, and there are five different studies on this. The most recent ones are from Harvard, that show that no human, and everyone listening here, if you are a human, no human has the scissors to break the pearl necklace of wheat into the individual pearls. None of us.
Wow.
The best we can do is to cut it into clumps of the pearl necklace. Now, those clumps of the pearl necklace are not supposed to get through the cheesecloth. They're too big. But what happens when you cross the line, as I said earlier, the loss of oral tolerance and this annoyance, these clumps of the pearl necklace in the intestines now become an irritant, and you cross the line, now you tear the cheesecloth. And when you tear the cheesecloth, that's called pathogenic intestinal permeability, or the slang term is leaky gut.
Oh, okay.
When you get leaky gut, now the clumps of the pearl necklace can get into the bloodstream.
Okay.
when the clumps of the pearl necklace go through the tears in the cheesecloth into the bloodstream, now your immune system says, whoa, we better fight this. This is not bricks and mortar to make new cells. This is a big molecule called a macromolecule. This is a big, big molecule. We better fight this. And so now you make antibodies to wheat, to the clump of the pearl necklace. And you make antibodies to any other foods that haven't yet had enough time to be broken down into the individual pearls. Why is our intestines 20, 25 feet long and winding around inside our abdomen? It's because prime rib takes a whole lot longer to break down than a banana, right? So when you break down a banana, you snip, you know, the proteins of a banana into amino acids, they get absorbed really quickly. But prime rib, you got to snip, 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 snip. It takes a while.
Right.
But what happens when you get tears in the cheesecloth? Now you get these clumps of prime rib that are still in the process of being snipped down, and they're going to be snipped for another 5 feet of your intestine or whatever the length is before they're broken down into just the individual pearls. Now these clumps of prime rib get into the bloodstream because there's tears in the cheesecloth. Now your immune system that's there to protect you says, whoa, what is this thing? It's called a macromolecule, a big molecule. Now your immune system makes antibodies to prime rib, to beef. That's why when people do a blood test, there's like 90 food panels that you can look at, like your sister. She did a blood test to see what food she's allergic to, and she comes back allergic to 25 different foods. And
right.
She says, oh, my God, that's everything I eat. Well, of course it is. Your immune system's trying to protect you. You don't shut down the immune system. You heal the gut. And when you heal the gut and she waits 3 to 6 months, now she can eat avocado again because the immune system has calmed down.
Okay, so once the immune system calms down, then the cheesecloth repairs.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's called healing intestinal permeability, healing the leaky gut, and you're healing the cheesecloth. You don't need to know the big names. You know, that doesn't matter unless you play Scrabble. And then it's pretty good to use some of these words,
you're
right?
Ready to take your board exam for a doctor.
That's okay. Right. That's exactly right. Or if you're going to go talk to your doctor. So you'll listen to this interview once or twice or three times. You just write down some notes and you say, you know, doc, I understand kind of the basics about this tears in the cheesecloth. And he won't know what you're talking about until you say intestinal permeability. You say, oh yeah, I've heard something about that. And they, you know, your doctor might not know exactly what to do for that. And that's not his problem, his or her problem. We think doctors are supposed to know everything. You know, you don't take your car to a transmission specialist if you have to get new wiring in the dashboard, right? Well, wait a minute. Wait, he's a mechanic. I can take it to the mechanic to do new wiring in my dashboard. No, you can't. He's a transmission specialist. You take your transmission to him. But we think that we go to a doctor and they're supposed to know everything, and that's not fair. That's really not fair to expect that of our doctors. So if you go into your doctor talking about these concepts, and when you read my book, it'll just make so much sense to you. You know, it's hard to give you 300 some pages of this book in a few minutes, you know.
Exactly.
But when you read the book, you'll say, you know, this just makes so much sense. It really does. And so when you take the book and you highlight it, you make some notes and you go, hey, doc, would you read this two paragraphs here? And he'll read it. And if your doc says, oh, that's just utter nonsense, you don't fire the doctor. You keep them for what they do for you, but you go find a functional medicine practitioner to work with also. You bring in another doctor as part of your healthcare team.
Perfect. And, you know, my son is a third-year, just finished his third-year medical school, so he's getting ready to take his board exams. But whenever I get a really wonderful book like this, I pass it on, and he reads it, because I want him to be, even though he wants to be a surgeon, but even though I want him to understand holistic ways of dealing with things. And he's always been raised that way. So he's very open to
Heartless.
Understanding that. But it's
well,
not
you know,
what they teach.
No, it's not. And I'm hoping your son will listen to this interview because I think we need really good surgeons. And, you know, for example, if you've got a problem in your arm and it's a nerve problem, you want the best neurosurgeon you can find. You want the best neurosurgeon you can find. But if your son, if he gets interested in neurosurgery, and that's what he specializes in, the really, really good surgeons are not only the best at what they do, but they also can say, you know, Mrs. Patient, this condition you have is a degenerative condition. It came on because something's wearing down your nerves. And, you know, I'm a surgeon. That's not my job. But you might want to take a look in the field of functional medicine and find a good functional medicine practitioner, or your son will find it in the area where he's practicing. He'll go meet some functional medicine practitioners so that he's got a bigger picture. It's not his job to teach patients how to reduce the degeneration that's occurring, but what a great service to say, you know, we'll fix your degenerative condition here. We'll do the right surgery for you, but you might want to take a look at why this is happening. You know, if the patient's
exactly.
got diabetes and it's in their legs or something, you know, it's not hard to slow down and reverse diabetes. My gosh,
yeah.
Anyone that's listening can just go to YouTube and type in type 2 diabetes and raw food diets. And just watch the videos of these doctors that put patients on a raw food diet for 30 days and completely reverse their diabetes, drop their cholesterol, drop their triglycerides, drop their blood sugar to stable zones, and they got off their medications. And the doctors were dumbfounded. They said, I can't believe what I'm seeing, but look at these test results. Now, I'm
as
not
well
advocating
as cancer.
Everyone to go on
I mean,
a raw
can't
food
people
diet.
Heal
right.
their cancer that way, too?
Exactly. And so I'm not advocating a raw food diet here. I'm just saying that there are simple things that can stop the degenerative process. And the basic rule for everyone that's listening is stop throwing gasoline on the fire. You have to figure out where the inflammation is coming from. If every disease is a disease of inflammation at the cell level, the cell's always on fire. It's always on fire. Well, the first thing you do is stop throwing gasoline on the fire. And so you have to learn how you are doing that. I'll give you another example. In the 1990s, they started publishing studies that showed every dog that they did autopsy on, every dog in Mexico City had Alzheimer's, early Alzheimer's, every dog, early, mid, or late Alzheimer's, every single dog. And in the mid-2000s, going into 2009, 2010, they had blood tests that they could do and urine tests, and they found every child in Mexico City has evidence of early Alzheimer's, every child. Now, when you listen to that, what? Exactly. It's like, what? Every child. Because there's five different types of Alzheimer's. And type number four is called inhalation Alzheimer's. It means what you're breathing in goes right through your lungs, straight up to your brain, activating the immune system, causing the fire in the brain that manifests eventually as Alzheimer's disease. Dr. Dale Bredesen is at UCLA, and he runs the Buck Institute. That's the Alzheimer's Research Center. He published in 2014 in the medical journal Aging, and if you type in Bredesen, B-R-E-D-E-S-E-N, it's free. The article's free online. It's really technical, but it's free online. You can download it. He completely reversed cognitive impairment and Alzheimer's in 9 out of 10 people. 9 out of 10. It took
Amazing.
5 years, but completely
wow.
reversed it. And he did his first seminar in March of this year. There were 300 of us in the room where he's teaching doctors, and now he has over 100 patients fully documented that are back to work, back
Amazing.
Living with their families again, fully functional. And it's a functional medicine approach. And the bottom line is stop throwing gasoline on the fire.
Okay.
And when you do that,
we're coming down to the last couple minutes, and I just have a few quick questions to ask you. I want to make sure,
sure.
I get them out.
Go ahead.
These tests, the Wheat-Zimmer test and the Array number 3, are they full-spectrum
yes.
tests or just for wheat?
No. Ray number three is just for wheat, and
okay.
also a marker of one marker of problems in the brain. There are many
okay.
markers, but it has one.
Okay.
The wheat zoomer is the most comprehensive test on wheat, and it also looks for intestinal permeability, the leaky gut.
Okay, perfect. And I also wanted to, because I've looked for functional medicine doctors where I live, and they're very hard
yes.
to find. I'm sure there are probably many in California and where people are just more health conscious. But how do we find functional medicine doctors if we want to go to one?
Well, that's really a good question. And if you go to functionalmedicine.org, that's the website for the Institute for Functional Medicine, and look for certified functional medicine practitioners. It takes an extra 3 years to become certified. Also,
okay.
you're in southern Florida, and
yes.
this is my friend in southern Florida, Dr. David Bleiweiss, is in Boca Raton. I
oh,
think that's
okay.
down in southern Florida, isn't it?
Perfect. Bleiweiss,
B-L. B-L-Y-W-E-I-S-S. And he's
okay,
a
perfect.
Very knowledgeable guy, and he's got a clinic that is set up for as a functional medicine practice center.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so we're going to have to, we could talk all day because this is absolutely fascinating.
Yes.
Not only fascinating, but it is so applicable to all of us. So
yes.
So your book, Autoimmune Fix, we're talking to Dr. Tom O'Brien, O'Brien. Where can we get your book?
If you go to my website, thedr.com, don't spell the word
doctor.
And I
have a link
out,
on I have a link on your show page to it, actually. Okay.
Perfect. Perfect. So if you go there, right on the first page is the book. And if you click on it, it takes you to Amazon, but then you also can download a few handouts that we've put together since I wrote the book. So the handouts are free, and then it takes you right over to Amazon to order the book.
Okay. Awesome. And there's so much more in this book. We didn't even get to talk about dairy and glycemic index and sugar and all kinds of things. But I recommend this is something that everyone should have on their shelf because it's the answer to much of what is going on with you. So anyway,
thank you.
This has been fantastic.
This is a must-read book for your son. It's a must-read because
yeah.
it gives him the big picture in healthcare, and then it'll change his entire education because he'll be looking through a different lens. You know, he'll be looking with different eyes.
Right. Absolutely. As soon
yes.
as he finishes studying, get
yes.
his head out of the
yes,
book,
right.
Then I'm going to give
right.
him the book. But anyway, it's been absolutely wonderful. I'm so glad that you were able to be my guest today. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity. And for all those that are listening, Godspeed on your health journey. And our book is designed to make it easy to do the right thing.
Well, you've motivated me. So that's a good start. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
So anyway, well, I wish you a wonderful day. Keep doing this wonderful work. It's fantastic. So thank you so much.
Thank you
and
so
goodbye.
Much. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. I wish you a wonderful day. If you're planning any vacations, have a great time, and may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.